So we are very close to the end of the book, of this letter, I should say, very close to the end of 1 Timothy. And I've been planning for a while where to go next. And I know eventually I want to go into 2 Timothy, but I don't think we're going to go right into 2 Timothy. So I'm not really sure how things are going to play out there. But we are almost done with this letter. And it's begun and it's going to end in a very similar way. The theme that we've seen at the beginning of this letter is the theme that we are now revisiting at the end. This letter begins and ends by Paul showing, naming Timothy as its recipient. If you want to just maybe go back a couple pages, look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. In the greeting, he says, to Timothy, and he describes Timothy as my true child in the faith, or true son in the faith. Now if you go back to chapter 6, verse 11, Timothy is described in another way. He says, but as for you, O man of God. Timothy is described as the child, as Paul's true child in the faith, but also as a man of God. And it's interesting that Titus is also described as Paul's true child in the faith. But this is really the only time in the New Testament, maybe this was a surprise to you, it was to me, this seems to be the only time in the New Testament where an individual is given this title, man of God. We see that is throughout the Old Testament, Moses, Samuel, David, Elijah, Elisha, and others, they are called the man of God. But Timothy has this title here in this little letter. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, however, and look at verse 17. I know I'm having you flip here at the beginning, but we're staying pretty close to our text. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17. Excuse me, verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Paul shows that scripture makes the man of God complete, equipped for every good work. And so there's a sense in which all believers are summoned to be men and women of God. Though Timothy is given this title, and though it is a title that is a title of honor, a title of respect for Timothy, there's a sense in which all of us are called to be men and women of God. Believers should strive to be known as men and women of God. But what does that mean? What does it mean to be a man of God? What does it mean to be a woman of God? Well, generally, that title refers to being a follower of Christ. But not just a follower of Christ, someone who is marked by a profound devotion to God. It's given to those who, though not perfect, are fully committed and loyal to the Creator. This is what it means to be a man or woman of God. And in this section, Paul shows that a man or woman of God is going to be different. Go back to chapter 6. Let's read verse 11. He says, but as for you, you remember what happened in the previous section? Probably not. I had to look at last week's sermon myself. What was he doing in the last section? Well, he's marking false teachers. He's giving Timothy and the Ephesian church a way to identify those who are false teachers. And now he says, but for you, O man of God. That word but is a conjunction, joining the phrase that came before with what's to follow. But it also shows what comes next is to be different. Previously, Paul revealed marks of false teacher. Now he shows the man of God will be something completely different. The man of God is going to be in opposition. He is going to be completely different than the false teachers that had invaded the church in Ephesus. He'll not be like those who taught different doctrines. He'll not be like those who are puffed up and who have a love for money. So in verses 11 to 16, Paul calls Timothy a man of God, and as a man of God, he calls him to do specific things. And I believe Paul's call to Timothy is issued to all who desire to be a man or woman of God. And we can identify this call to do specific things by observing five verbs in this section. Look at verse 11. We're going to jump around here a little bit. There's five verbs that reveal what the man of God or woman of God is to do. Look at verse 11. It says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness." The first two verbs that the man or woman of God will do is they will first flee and they will also pursue. They're going to flee something and then they're going to pursue something. Look at verse 12. He begins, "Fight the good fight of the faith." The man and woman of God will flee, they'll pursue, and then they'll fight. Also, we see in verse 12. "Fight the good fight of the fight. Take hold of the eternal life." They're going to flee. They're going to pursue. They're going to fight. They're going to take hold. In verse 14, they're called to keep. So there's verbs throughout this section that shows what the man and woman of God are to do. They're to flee, pursue, fight, take hold, and keep. Now, today we're only going to talk about two of these verbs. You might be shocked, well, maybe not, to know we're just going to get into verse 11 today. We're just looking at verse 11. Before looking, though, at these two verbs, I think we should look at the passage as a whole again, though, briefly, and affirm a very simple but profound truth. These are action verbs. These are calls to action. The man or woman of God will not be passive. They will be active in their spiritual walk. The false teachers were active, but not in pursuing God's agenda. Rather, they were active in pursuing their own agendas. The life of a man or woman of God is not passive, but it's active in pursuing God's call on their life. And just as one can discover a false teacher by how they live, you can discover a man or woman of God by observing how they live. Olympians can be identified by how they live outside of competition. You like watching the Olympics? I love watching the Olympics. It's a lot of fun. And I often, as we watch the Olympics and one thing my wife really gets into is not so much the actual event, although she likes that, it's the backstory. You know, they'll start talking about how this person grew up as a child and talk about their parents and overcame difficulties, and it's always interesting. But you can identify an Olympian by how they live outside of competition. For instance, Olympic swimmers, they're in the pool 5 to 6 hours a day. They lift weights 4 to 5 times a week. They regularly see nutritionists, coaches, trainers. They don't live like the rest of us. They pursue activities that make them worthy of holding the title of Olympian. And the same is true for all who desire to be a man or woman of God. You can look at how they live, what they do, what they don't do, and you can identify them. They're daily involved in activities of fleeing, of pursuing, fighting, and persevering. So today, our main thought today, the main verse we're going to look at is verse 11, and it is, a man or woman of God will seek to flee from evil, and they will pursue Christian virtues. They will seek to flee from evil and pursue Christian virtues. Let's read verse 11 again. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. The first thing they do is they flee. They flee from evil. Now, what does it mean to flee? What does it mean? Well, the word refers to running away, from avoiding something. And immediately, as I saw this word, and as I studied this word, I immediately thought of the biblical character of Joseph. You remember Joseph? Okay? He's one of 12 sons. His brothers can't stand him. Remember Joseph and his coat of many colors? His brothers, they see him coming one day. He's sent by his dad to go check up on him. And as they see Joseph coming, they say, all right, what are we going to do with this guy? One says, let's kill him. Another brother says, no, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in this cave. They throw him in the cave. Judah gets this brilliant idea. Hey, we're not going to profit from his death. Let's make some money off the kid. So they bring up Joseph, and they sell him into slavery. He goes down into Egypt, and he becomes a slave in whose house? Potiphar. Very good. Well, in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife, it says, cast her eye on Joseph. And she tempted him with immorality. And Joseph, it says, however, regularly refused. Well, one day when everyone was out of the house, the text says she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. He was a man who fled from sin. And here's the thing, a man or woman of God will seek to flee when tempted by sin. Now, this is an action verb. It's a command. It's an imperative. But it's also a present active comparative. Clarified it for everybody, right? Present active. What does that mean? It means it's to be a continual action. It's an action that's to be performed over and over and over and over and over again. The man of God or woman of God must regularly and continually run away from and avoid these things, to avoid evil. Again, Joseph is an example of this. In verse 10 of chapter 39 of Genesis, it says, as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. Joseph regularly rejected the temptation to sin. And the call of 1 Timothy chapter 6 calls the man or woman of God to keep fleeing these things. That's what it says. Flee these things. What things? What things? Well, in the context, he's referring to those things that the false teachers did. Instead of doing what the false teachers did, Timothy was to flee those things. As a man of God, his pursuits were to be completely different. He shouldn't engage in those things. He should flee from them, flee from different doctrine. He shouldn't give ear to false teaching. He shouldn't put himself in the midst of false teaching and give ear to it. He should flee from it. He should flee petty controversies and quarrels. He should flee divisive talk, gossip. He was to flee the love of money, which is the root of all kinds of evil. So even though there are specific things in this letter Timothy is to flee, we could say generally he is to flee evil. The man of God will seek to flee evil. The woman of God will seek to flee evil. Now, we got to understand some things. This command to flee indicates these actions are really tempting. I mean, he's not just saying, yeah, you need to probably not do that. I mean, this is a word that calls for immediate, quick, decisive action, right? Flee. And I think he chooses this word to remind us, you know, sin is very enticing. It's often very enticing. It's appealing. It's something that the flesh craves. These things appeal to the flesh. They entice it. And so doesn't this call to flee reveal the weakness of the flesh? The flesh truly is weak, and the man and woman of God will actually know this about themselves. A man or woman of God is going to know, my flesh, in my flesh dwells no good thing. You know what I think we're often guilty of? Thinking we're stronger than we are. Thinking we're able to handle things. The man or woman of God understands that sin, temptation, often can be more than we can handle. The flesh truly is weak, and the man and woman of God knows this about themselves. They won't be self-deceived, believing they're somehow impervious to temptation. Oh, I'll be fine. You know, I could do this, but I'm not going to like fall off the cliff. I'm not going to go too far. We need to flee temptation. The man or woman of God at times may need to endure continued temptation. That is a reality. When Joseph went into the house to do what he was called to do for his master, he probably knew that day she's going to be here somewhere. She's going to be around somewhere, right? And being a man or woman of God, yes, we need to flee temptation, but we also need to understand that there are certain things in our life that will be regular temptations. However, the man or woman of God should not purposely put themselves under temptation, but instead seek ways to flee it. In his next letter, Paul says this, flee youthful passion and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies, but know that they breed quarrels. Brother, sister, today, are you seeking to flee evil? Or are you placing yourself regularly in the pathway of temptation? Katie's parents gave her first cell phone for her birthday. She was so excited. She could now text her friends, update social media accounts, even listen to her favorite podcasts. But one night, as she was scrolling on a social media account, Katie came across some videos she knew were not God honoring. With her parents sound asleep and unaware of the struggle, she began to indulge in watching those videos each night. And yet each night, she continually brought her phone with her into her room, laying it on the table next to her bed. What if someone texted her? What if she missed something that her friends posted on social media, she thought? You see, instead of making her parents aware of the struggle and help to keep her accountable, she intentionally, repeatedly put herself in the pathway of temptation each night. The man or woman of God will flee evil. They will recognize the weakness of the flesh and seek to run from temptation. Will we always endure temptation of some sort? Yes or no? But we will not intentionally place ourselves there. We flee evil in two ways. First, by seeking to remove ourselves when evil unexpectedly presents itself. when it's unexpected. But fleeing also involves being honest about the weakness of the flesh and not putting ourselves in situations where we know we will be tempted. Robert Yarbrough puts it this way: there are things to engage and confront, and there are things with which one deals by giving it a wide berth. I thought that was really good. The man or woman of God must be fueled by a strong desire to put a great distance between himself and evil. So, the man of God will flee these things. Next, though, we see they pursue after other things. As they're running from evil, they're running to something else. They're pursuing after Christian virtues. Let's read these virtues. He says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. The man or woman of God should flee the flesh and pursue the spiritual. Now, what does it mean to pursue? We know what it means to flee. What does it mean to pursue? Well, it means to strive after, to attain something. It's the opposite of fleeing. It's going to something. About 9 or so years ago, a man from the church where I was serving offered to take Carter and me fishing. He came to me and says, let's go walleye fishing. I'm hiring a charter. And I thought, this is going to be so cool. So this was down on the Detroit River. And so he hired a charter, and he took us fishing. We arrived really early. Just before the sun was coming out, we arrived down at the dock. We met the charter boat captain and the boat. And as we're getting our stuff into the boat, you know, I'm like, hey, Carter, use the restroom? Good. Okay. Are you sure? Because we're out in the water and, you know, we get everything all settled. And as we're departing from the dock, I settled in and I noticed the guy took out a cell phone. The charter boat captain, he got out his cell phone and he called another captain, another guy who was fishing. And he asked him, he got him on the phone and he says, how are they biting? He says, oh, they're biting good. Where are you at? He told him where he was at. So as we got away from the dock, he really gunned it and we were in pursuit of the fish. We got to that area. And as we arrived in the general vicinity, I saw the guy went over to his fish finder and he turned it on. How many of you know what a fish finder is? Okay, yeah. Tells you where the fish are, you know? So we go there and we drop the bait in the water, and not so much long after that, we're actually catching walleye. It was a lot of fun. So we see the man, he's actually pursuing after the fish, and he's looking at this fish finder, trying to find out where they are. This is the idea of pursuing. A man or woman of God will pursue after Christian virtues. They're not going to pursue after sin, but rather they're going to pursue Christian virtues. And again, this is a present active imperative. This is not a one and done. It's not something you do once. Oh, I went to church last week. I read my Bible yesterday or a month ago. No, this is something that we continually do. This is something that we are striving for. It is a present active imperative. The man or woman of God will be marked by what he flees and what he pursues. Can I ask you a question? What can stop a person from pursuing these things? What are things that can cause someone to stop pursuing Christian virtue? It could be an array of things. But I just want to ask you personally, is it possible in your life that in some ways you have stopped fleeing sin? Maybe you're putting yourself with friends, so-called, that are tempting you to evil, to a godless life, not a godly life. What are you not fleeing? Are you fleeing sin, and have you stopped pursuing Christian virtues? Have you abandoned the flight, and have you abandoned following after godliness? Can I call you once again to stop pursuing sin and to start fleeing sin? Now, what are these Christian virtues we are to pursue? Paul provides a list of virtues, and these six virtues are arranged in three pairs, okay? They're arranged in three pairs and serve as a poetic summary of balanced spirituality of the man or woman of God. So I'm going to deal with them two at a time. First, we are to pursue righteousness and godliness. Righteousness, what does it mean to be righteous? What is righteousness? Well, righteousness is a term that covers the horizontal dimensions of the Christian life. The things of this world. Righteousness refers to the horizontal aspect of one's conduct on earth. A righteous follower of Christ will seek to obey Christ's commands for us. They're going to seek not to sin. They're going to seek not to harness their, they're going to seek to harness their speech. They're going to seek to not be consumed with wealth or gain. They're going to strive to be fair with others, to obey authority. They are going to seek righteousness. But how is that different than godliness? If righteousness is the horizontal, godliness is the vertical. It's the vertical. It refers to one's piety, one's reverence for God. It's the response of the individual who is under a covenant relationship with God. They're going to strive to live in the fear of God. They're going to strive to have an awe of God and seek to honor Him. And this is so important. The man or woman of God, the godly man or woman, are going to seek to align themselves with God's perspectives. Hold your place here and go to 2 Timothy 3:12. 2 Timothy 3:12. It says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. The one who strives to live a godly life, who pursues after godliness, Paul says, will face persecution. What's persecution? I think we all know what it is, right? Persecution is being, I don't want to use persecute in the definition of persecution. Those who will face hardships, those who will endure hardness because of doing right, they will be persecuted for striving to be godly. Why? Why does godliness lead to persecution in this world? Well, the one who conforms to God's standard of goodness and truth will not conform to any other standard. They will not side with those who disagree with God's standard of righteousness and truth. And if you disagree, that will lead to persecution. You see, the world seeks to establish another standard for what is good and righteous. The world seeks to set their own standards that are directly opposed and in conflict with what God has declared. You see, being a man or woman of God means they're not willing to sacrifice God's standards in order to adopt the world's standards. The man and woman of God is unwilling to call what God identifies as good, evil. They're unwilling to call good evil, and they're unwilling to identify what God has called evil to be good. No matter the cost, the man of God or woman of God will uphold God's standards of what is good and what is evil. June is the month our culture has designated as Pride Month. And this Pride Month graphically reveals the reality that the world seeks to rebel against God's standards of what is good and what is evil. What God calls evil is now celebrated as good, and what God calls good is condemned by the world as evil. And for this month, the month is aptly labeled Pride Month. This is nothing more than rebellious pride against a holy and righteous God. Scripture shows God will judge those who stand before him in pride. Isaiah 2:17 says, "And the haughtiness of man shall be humbled, and the lofty pride of men shall be brought low, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day." Folks, the man or woman of God will not adopt new definitions of what is good and evil. They will strive to be righteous and godly in all things. But let Timothy's word in 2 Timothy 2 be a reminder to us. If you want to be a godly man or woman, if you want to be a man or God, a woman of God, get ready for persecution. It will come. Next, back in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 11. They will pursue righteousness and godliness, but they will also pursue faith and love. Faith and love are regularly seen together. It seems Paul's referring to a believer's faithfulness to God in all things and their sacrificial love for others. A man or woman of God is not going to be self-focused, but focused rather on God and others. They'll be devoted to God and others. They're going to remain faithful to God in all things. They're going to be faithful to him, even in difficult times. You know, if you were in Sunday school this morning with me, we read about King Saul and how he did something that he knew was against God's will, but he did it because the circumstances were pressuring him to do that. And I think we do that a lot in our lives. But the reality is a man or woman of God will remain faithful to him at all times. They also are going to seek the welfare of others. Brothers and sisters, are we pursuing after these things? Are we pursuing after faith and love? And finally, we see here that they will pursue after steadfastness and gentleness. Some of you may have patience and meekness. Are you a patient person? I'm not by nature. I'm not. A man or woman of God will be patient, steadfast in the midst of trials. They'll be patient with people. They'll be gentle and meek. Now, like I said, we're not advancing past verse 11. And I will say, this is maybe one of the most simplistic messages I've ever given. It's very simple, right? Run from sin, pursue what is good. Can we get more simple? And some of you may be amazed. He has now spent 35 minutes on such a simple concept. But a reason why I spent 35 minutes on such a simple concept is this. What is often the most simple thing to understand is the hardest thing to do. Church, are we fleeing from sin? What are you putting your eyes on your phone, on your tablets, on your TVs? What are you listening to? What are you doing in your fleeing from sin? Are you? Or are we placing ourselves in temptation regularly? And are we pursuing what is righteous, what is good? Now, I do want to say this. I grew up in what is often described as conservative fundamentalism. Okay, I grew up in that. And it was majorly emphasized that a man or woman of God need to protect themselves and others from sinful influences. The focus was on, don't go there. Don't watch that. Don't do that. Be careful. Protect yourself. We even had the song, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you, right? Protect yourself from the influences. And here's the thing. We got an idea that the greatest threat to us was out there. But the reality is the greatest threat is in here. But with that understanding, there's been a reaction to maybe some who grew up like I did. Of like, well, Christianity isn't all about do's and don'ts. It's not all about keeping the rules. I mean, that's legalism, right? That L word, we don't like that word. But I think we've overcorrected the other way to where we forget simple truths like the ones here in verse 11. We are to flee evil. We are to protect ourselves from these things. I've seen those who in recent days maybe have grown up like I did in those kinds of circles. They have a disdain for this kind of perspective. And I do think one can definitely get out of balance with them. However, I've also seen by those who came out of those same circles a reaction in another extreme where they stop heeding the phrase of verse 11. They no longer flee those things that mark those who are opposed to God. Believers, we must separate ourselves from sin. But I must also say, if that's all you're doing, it's not enough. It's two ideas. It's fleeing, but also running to something. If all you do is flee, you're going to fail. Being a godly man or woman involves pursuing after these things. So let us do both. It's defense and offense. It's both. Those who are redeemed, I simply want to ask you, are you striving to be a man, a woman of God? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this church. And Lord, I thank you for this reminder, this very simple reminder today. God, I pray that those who are here today, who hear my voice, Lord, that they are striving to be godly men and women. Lord, I pray that we would leave here with a renewed desire, a renewed commitment to flee and to pursue. In your precious name, amen. So today being the first Sunday of the month, we also, this is the Sunday that we have designated to take communion. And before we participate in this, we should acknowledge that this is something to be observed by those who have placed their faith and trust in Christ. This is an observance for believers only. So if you're not a regular attender here at Mount Morris Community Church, but still a true follower of Christ, we invite you to join with us. Also, in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul issues a warning for those who take of the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. He says, whoever eats or drinks the bread of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. So what we're going to do right here is we're going to take some time where we can search our own hearts. If there's unconfessed sin, now is the time to do that. But also, as our text showed us today, maybe to renew our commitment to flee those things that maybe we haven't been and to start pursuing righteousness. Let's just take a few moments here.